As we broadcast from what will be another day of Eagles practice at the NovaCare Complex, their second practice happening today, coming up in a couple hours, our broadcast in the NovaCare Complex is driven by Hitch RV. Hitch RV, your premier family-owned dealership. For locations, go to HitchRV.com. All right, 215-592-9494 to weigh in on everything from yesterday with the Eagles and whether you feel better about the Birds in light of what we heard from Howie and Sirianni and Hurt. So we played a good chunk of the Howie and Sirianni stuff there last segment. Coming up around 7:30, we'll play the Jalen Hurts interview from yesterday, press conference from yesterday. Plus, Elliot will join us at 7:50 today. All right, so we're digesting that. We're also, you know, as Ben Davis joins us, digesting a Phillies loss at what feels like, other than perhaps the first week of the season, the low ebb of the season. Now, the irony is the Phillies are still 9 games in front of the Atlanta Braves, who lost again yesterday. Phils aren't playing good these days. Braves aren't playing good these days. By the way, weird fact, the Mets are a game and a half behind the Braves now. So just start putting that in your whatever, on your radar. All right, Ben was out there the last couple games, obviously broadcast on NBC Sports Philadelphia. Ben, it was pretty ugly baseball the last few days.
It did not go well. It was not ideal.
That's a way to put it.
It was not ideal.
Why was it as ugly as it looked?
Well, they didn't do a whole lot of things well. I mean, not to be funny, but, I mean, they didn't hit. The starting pitching was okay. I thought Zach Wheeler was unbelievable. Aaron Nola was great yesterday. But they didn't hit. There was time. It wasn't timely hitting, and the bullpen just walked too many guys and hit too many guys, and you just can't do that.
Are there themes that you can sort of take away from these three series?
How about this theme? Guys aren't playing as well as they did in the first 3 months.
That's the bottom line.
Right? I mean, yeah.
It's that simple.
It's that simple.
But it's also that all-encompassing. You know, like, how do you fix
that?
Well,
a lot's happening at the same time. And maybe that's what you mean, John, all-encompassing.
Right.
Like, it feels like, Ben, to your point, the lack of timely hitting. Although Schwarber's hit was a big one in the moment. I mean, in the moment, you feel like, all right.
That was an awesome hit. That was in my mind, that's a spectacular job by Kyle Schwarber of going down and getting a ball that he wouldn't normally be able to get.
No. But he and others,
our approach for the day was horrendous.
So Bryson, look, he's the best player on the team. I mean, no disgrace. But he pops out early when there's two guys on. He Bohm strikes out. And I think it was the second inning. I think it was Schwarber that left them all on base at the end. I mean, Ben, it was
Bohm and Marsh struck out, remember. Back to back.
That's right. And they both thought they were bad calls, and I thought they were both actually good calls.
Yeah, they were both strikes.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
They were both strikes.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't play well. They flat out didn't play well, and they didn't hit. There's a couple guys on the team I'm a little concerned with offensively. But the bullpen is just something we haven't seen the whole year.
So let's get to that, Ben, because the reality is I don't think Soto's going to be in big spots in the postseason. I certainly hope he's not. I think he's going to be a fifth-inning filler guy, you know, if you have to. Like, you're up five or you're down five. But Alvarado's not in that category. I mean, Soto was in the game yesterday because the manager wants to back off Alvarado for a moment. And maybe that moment's two games, maybe that moment's a week, maybe it's a month. I mean, how concerned are you looking toward October, because that's what this is all about, with Jose Alvarado?
I'm not really concerned. His last outing, he looked really good. He had a couple strikeouts. I'm not that concerned with him. He's just going through a thing. Everyone does it. But we've seen him bounce back in years past.
We have.
So I think he'll be just fine. I'm not that concerned with him. He still has the confidence. He still has the work ethic. So I think he'll be fine.
All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. On the Phils, the last couple days, the last couple series, which, again, they've lost three in a row now, and a ton on the Eagles. If you feel better. Look, here's where I'm at as far as yesterday, and if I feel better. Yes, a little bit. I don't put a ton of stock in all the words just because I expected nice words to be said, and they were. So I got to take it with a little bit of a grain of salt. But I think it's good that the nice words were said. It's certainly better than nice words not being said.
And that has happened.
That has happened recently before. So nice words were said by the coach about the quarterback and by the quarterback about the coach. So that was good. I also thought Jalen's presentation being more positive, more smiley, a little more seemingly happy.
He sounded like there was a lift. In his voice.
He sounded like he'd been talking.
It sounded like he was speaking more quickly. It sounded like it was almost like a skosh higher, like a pitch higher.
Well, you know, he was
with excitement.
John, he wasn't monotone. No, he's exactly. almost always totally there, monotone. There, he wasn't yesterday.
There, right. Yeah. There was enthusiasm and emotion.
And that's
and
good.
Almost expectant exuberance
yeah.
that I loved hearing because it sort of conveyed the enthusiasm for getting here,
yeah.
for being here with his teammates, being back and knowing that this is going to be a special thing.
All right, so your reaction to yesterday as we shoot, of course, toward today, another practice. By the way, 8:30 today, Devontae Smith joins our show. And at 7:30, if you missed it, Jalen Hurts' 10-minute press conference from yesterday, you can hear it with your own ears. If you missed it yesterday, that's
perky,
coming up in 20 minutes.
Perky.
All right, let's go to Ken right now in Vincent. Ken, what's going on, dude?
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
Good, buddy.
Great, Ken.
Especially not in Vincent. I'm taking you on my road trip to Wisconsin that will
nice.
Land me up in Wisconsin tonight.
Go see the Lombardi Museum.
And, they have good food in Madison.
Go see all that good stuff.
Lots of... It feels like there's lots of butter on everything. At least that was my experience.
And cheese. Lots of cheese.
A lot of butter.
Certainly
on
a
everything.
Lot of cheese.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Very cheesy.
All right, Ken, what do you got, dude? Wholesome.
I have an empty cooler. I'll bring you home some Wisconsin for us.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe love some it. Spotted so, cows, too, while you're out there.
Definitely spotted cows.
Definitely bringing home spotted cows. So that's a given. But on the Phillies, before I get to the Eagles, the only thing I would say is that this kind of post All-Star game stretch. For the first time this year, reminds me what my biggest fear is for this team in the postseason. You guys know this; it's in the dugout. So I'm not ready to jump off the Ben Franklin Bridge yet, but I'm being reminded of that still lingers. As
well, okay, but Ken, but let me just say this: he didn't do anything wrong in the last couple of games, right? You're not just to be clear, he didn't mess up. Like putting Soto in isn't really what he wants to do. He's doing it because he's trying to dial back Alvarado right now.
No, it's not the Soto thing as much as he seems to have a knack of knowing just how to leave a guy in for one batter more than he should be left in there for.
Look, I thought he overtrusted last year. I mean, I thought Charlie overtrusted in 2011 when he let Ryan Howard swing in Game 5 with a 3-0 pitch when Ryan Howard hadn't gotten a hit since Game 1 of the Cardinals series, and he popped out. On that freaking, who was that pitcher, the damn Cardinals guy, Carpenter, right?
He overtrusts sometimes, but yeah. then other times he doesn't. Like, he will not overtrust Brandon Marsh. He will seemingly overtrust Rangers.
It's
Suarez.
The seven or eight
Ranger
guys
gets
he trusts.
Pulled
no, Ranger does.
Previously.
Yeah.
I don't know if that will continue this season after the uptick in his play,
but
now that the downtick has happened, I would suspect it will continue.
Ken, here's what I'll say. Like, I also share the concern about Rob Thompson, but that is not even close to my main concern about October. My main concern about October is that the team just won't be sharp the way they were in the first 3 months. I mean, you know, in the first 3 months, there were guys playing above their head. Ranger, probably Strom, probably Hoffman, definitely Sanchez. Like,
okay, so we can get back to that.
Well,
level.
that's the thing.
That's
I mean, you know, they're going to win close to 100 games, but what will they look like in October? I mean, that's what this whole thing comes down to. Ken, quickly give me your Eagles point.
So, nothing that I heard yesterday bothers me. I'm happy with everything I heard and much expected it, but...
Oh.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. That was a butt. That was a big butt. How big was that butt? Seltzer, why don't you take that on? That butt was so big, it was whose butt? Was that a B-U-T
I'm just thinking,
or a B-U-T
I'm thinking of Sir Mix-a-Lot right
I got
now.
A butt.
That's what I got in
butt.
My head right
you
now.
Played it safe.
I got a butt.
Look at Seltzer. He's afraid to go there. He's afraid.
How about this butt?
Kim
Joe?
K?
How about this butt?
No.
Well, sure.
Okay.
Kim K butt.
Okay.
Howie yesterday said, I'm responsible for the players, and he, meaning Nick, is responsible for his coaching staff.
Yeah, but he talked around that. That answer was... That answer was
nonsense.
A cover job. That was a cover job.
So
that's
not believable.
What I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
That
oh, we
I
give
don't
each other information
you.
To make decisions.
That is wonky. That is flat out. Holy cow! I can't believe you just said
well,
that.
Well, Howie answered
in
the question.
The wake
he jumped
of,
in.
Well, that's yeah. That's that was, one of the ones where Howie he's sitting up there for this purpose. Like, I hope everyone's aware. Like, not everyone, not every head coach had a chaperone yesterday sitting right next to him on the stage. Not every head coach was chaperoned.
Yeah, no,
Nick was chaperoned, and the answer given
was what Howie chose to say, which I found amazing. Howie said, I'm responsible for the players, and he's responsible for his coaching staff. How can you say that that is not the case
at all?
Well,
he was trying to defuse. Whether he did or not, obviously for you on that topic, he did not. All right, speaking of defuse, Jalen Hurts, how he handled the Sirianni thing. You'll hear that coming up next, plus Elliot at 7:50. A report from yesterday, a preview of today, and phone calls on all these topics, including the Phils. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie from training camp on 94 WIP.
Hey, Philly, if it's been a minute since you've considered a Nissan, now's the time to check out my friends at the Busch Auto Group. With six Nissan models under $30,000 and two locations in Limerick and Exton, quality and affordability are right around the corner. This month, you can save up to $4,000 on in-stock Nissan models. Not only that, but every vehicle comes with over $3,000 in bonus value to help drive down the cost of vehicle ownership. And trust me, I've been a customer there myself. These guys know how to treat you right. Head to Nissan 422 of Limerick or Exton Nissan today to save big. Or view their wide selection of new and pre-owned vehicles online at BushAutoGroup.com.
We go Stones last segment. We go Zeppelin right now. I love it. Love it a lot. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie with Ben Davis and Devin and Seltzer. Great to be with you. Jalen Hurts, what he said yesterday. You'll hear the press conference in its entirety in about 10 minutes. So Devin just said, you know, the Phillies walked off, which they were yesterday. You know what's also getting walked off? The Wells Fargo Center.
How about it?
Like, again they're going to switch the name of the building. So, all right, let me make sure I got this right. So if you miss it, Wells Fargo Center, I mean, the building will still exist, but the name will change. So we started with Spectrum 2. That was when the Wells Fargo Center, if that's what we're calling it, was being built, and it was conceived as, okay, Spectrum 2, until we find a corporate sponsor. Okay, fine, Spectrum 2. Then we go Core State Center. That is, I think of that as early Allen Iverson. That's like AI, the rookie debut. All right. Then we go First Union Center.
The FU Center.
That is Allen Iverson and Larry Brown in the 0-1 finals. That's Mike Breen calling the Sixers game 7 against Milwaukee from the First Union Center as the Sixers march to the NBA finals. Then we go Wachovia Center. Oh. That is, I don't know what that is. Is that like Chris Webber? I don't know what that is. Is that Bobrovsky with the fly? That's probably pre-Bobrovsky. I don't know what that is. That's probably like early Kimo Tiemann or something. I don't know. That's like 06, 07, 08. I don't know what it is. Then somewhere along the line, we go Wells Fargo Center. Probably had that for a decade or so. That's certainly Joel Embiid and bad Flyers hockey. Really bad Flyers hockey. And now we're going to have a new name. So is it going to be a Fit Bank?
I don't know. I mean,
Bank is out.
They can afford it, but it's kind of boring, right? You want
Philly.
Something.
Well, it's totally boring. It's amazing. I'll tell you this. For someone like me who doesn't typically switch, like I don't call the Staples Center or whatever that .com is. I'll just call it the Staples.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Crypto.com. I've gone one by one by one to the new names. Maybe no more.
What if we just go back to the Spectrum?
Well, but they're going to want to make millions of dollars.
And it's also not the Spectrum. Like, the Spectrum was its own special place.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
That's true. That's true.
James, let me ask you this. James, for the Hammer Center, how much money would we need? Like, WIP listeners would probably step up.
Yeah.
How much money would 30 bucks get it done?
No, I think we're going to need
maybe
100 million more.
All right, I need a millionaire out there. Help me out the Hammer Center. Let's go to the phones. My God.
It's kind of a cool name. Like, I hate to say that, it has a ring to it.
Rain it in, Devin, all right? Rain it in.
I agree with Devin. I think it sounds really cool.
Right? Like, you're an opposing team. You have to go come in and face the Sixers and Flyers at the Hammer Center. Scary.
I like it. Of course, that'd be more Dave Schultz and Joe DeCameron, but that's okay. All right, your thoughts on yesterday. What stood out to you from Nick and Howie and Jalen? We'll also get to the practice portion of yesterday. Elliot will give us a great report coming up at 7:50. And again, in about 5 minutes, you'll hear Jalen Hurts in his entirety from yesterday's press conference. Bernadette right now in Maple Shade. Good morning, Bernadette.
Good morning, morning team. How are you guys doing?
Doing super, Bernadette. We're on the practice field right now.
I know.
Well, we're
gorgeous.
We're 15 green steps from the practice field.
Yeah, and there's we're just off three practice fields.
That's right,
and it looks so pretty right now.
That's pretty cool.
Yep.
So first of all, James, I have to tell you, your laugh is so contagiously funny.
Thanks, Brent.
You're hysterical.
Thank you.
Which is interesting, Brent, because many people find it. Like his voice and all, like, I hate to say it, a little annoying.
Thanks, buddy.
I didn't say, bro, I didn't say James Iko. I just said, I mean, let's not sugarcoat here. Maybe the biggest criticism in James Seltzer is the voice.
I think it is.
What? Is that what you
especially
think
when,
Jimmy
especially
sounds
when
like?
He thinks he's I mean, right and is wrong and digs in?
This is especially, you know, galling holy coming from cow. Someone who screeches on the air daily.
I do.
Screeches. All right. That's a good way to
all right, Bernadette, what's point two? I like it. Go ahead.
Okay, so my thing about the birds is I just can't wait for football season to start to get out of this baseball season.
Well, that's a shame because the Phillies have given us about the best regular season they've just about ever had to this point. I mean, you can't complain big picture. I mean, I know the last week hasn't been fun, but the season's been rollicking fun. Right?
Well, it's been a slow start to the second half.
It has. Look, to a certain extent, even since London, which was early June, they haven't played as well. Like, things kind of started, like, getting a little bit.
But this is still an amazing baseball team that we should be very, very excited about.
I agree with that. Yeah.
Well, I think they do have a good roster this year for the Birds. I think they'll do pretty good. They just got to keep Jalen protected.
Big part of it. Big part of it. All right, Bernadette, give me a great answer. From a pretty good movie, something dumb or strange.
Okay. You guys are going to think this is hysterical, but I just thought this was the best one. So, Mr. Mom with Michael Keaton.
Yep.
The scene where he was fighting with the vacuum cleaner, and then he knocked the vacuum cleaner on the ground, and all the dirt and dust came flying out and went everywhere.
Dust everywhere, vacuum cleaner. Listen, I'll say this, Bernadette. I think we can do better.
Yes.
No, I'm not burning. I'm just kidding. I kid because I care.
That's a harsh assessment.
No, I, well, you know.
She's pouring her heart into her
do you really think the winning answer is going to be dust everywhere from
she
the
vacuum? Mr. Really Mom does not get a lot
answer.
Of love on our show, Mr.
No,
Mom.
No, no.
It's an entertaining movie.
Have you, you know what? I don't think you're a Mr. Mom fan.
I don't know,
that's
Mr.
part
Mom.
Of the problem.
Never see, that's like
I
Wheelhouse.
Know it,
it's like 84, 85. Like, that's
normally
like,
Wheelhouse.
Yeah, I know.
That's like Marky Post. Wheelhouse!
I know.
That's my life, yeah. Joe.
All right. Well,
Mr. Mom.
Yeah, that's why, John, that's why
it's John Ritchie's story. That's
why
right.
Some would say he's got to
really
get
funny.
A life. Mm. Let's go to Drew in Westchester. What's up, Drew?
Very true. I thought Devin won drop of the week yesterday, but now I'm not sure after your impression of Seltzer, Joe. I feel like
yeah, I grabbed it immediately.
That was messed
now.
Up. Yeah, but I still think Devin has drop of the week. I think she's...
Thank you for reminding us all of that moment.
It's
Drew.
I thought
we were going to move past it.
Semifinalist for drop of the year.
I don't know what.
Her Eagles.
What are you
chant.
Talking about?
I'm sorry, Devin, but if I didn't, I think someone else probably would have.
Yeah.
Drew,
it's all
you
good, Drew.
Sold
wait.
Down
Drew,
the river, man.
Drew, congratulations. Drew's having a baby.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Sorry, Drew. I didn't mean to just out you, but he posted it on social media yesterday, a couple days
wow.
ago.
Wow.
Yes. No,
nice show.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Devin. Yeah, I'll just say, I know we were talking a lot of Eagles, but yeah, I heard the heartbeat for the first time the morning of opening day. So despite the Phil's struggles right now, I've been convinced all season that we are winning the World Series based on that.
Very nice, man. That's sweet.
Awesome,
well, good
man.
For you, buddy, and your wife. That's awesome.
Great job. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you guys. Thank you guys so much. And, you know, to appreciate being able to share, you know, the news with you. Eagles, before I get to Jalen, I know you guys kind of like, you know, joked about like the Howie role yesterday. Like you called him a chaperone. But like when he and Nick are up there, it's very clear to me that they like each other. And I think that's worth something. Like
I agree with
a lot
you.
Of
yep,
like power struggles kind of derail things over
this
the
goes
past
back.
Like 20 years
Drew.
Between coach and GM. So I really think that does matter.
Drew, To some degree, I agree with you. I do think it matters that they get along, that they like one another. But this goes all the way back to, like, the second or third press conference. I can remember this moment where it felt like Howie chuckled at Nick instead of what had previously been, like, white-knuckling by the front office.
Well, I agree
whenever
with
Nick
yes.
spoke.
Yeah, I know.
It was like,
yeah.
Hey, we're going to let Nick be Nick, and we're okay with it. Like that, once they got to that point, and it took
well, Nick
a
improved.
Little bit.
Yesterday's an example of Nick improving. He's more buttoned up at the press conference. He's less goofy. He's still a little goofy, but he's less goofy.
And but he's still needed in the organization's mind. Howie to be up
they
there.
Chose, yeah, they chose to have someone there just in case.
Yeah. And look, I don't know that that's their thinking, but it sure feels like that's what it was.
I agree with that.
Just in case, we're going to make sure Howie's there to rescue our head coach.
No, I think that's right. Yeah. I agree with that.
That's not the norm.
But, Drew, your observation about their relationship is an observation I share as well. I do think they genuinely like each other.
And I think a big reason why is Nick Sirianni is a likable guy.
No question.
These players, they like him. Yeah. That could be his greatest strength as a coach.
Yeah.
His likability. That guys choose to follow someone that they like more.
All right, Drew, I need an answer here for the Imagine Dragons tickets. A movie with something dumb or out of place or strange.
Yeah, you got it. In Home Alone, I always thought it was weird that despite the phone lines being down, that Kevin was able to order a pizza.
Interesting. So someone remind me on that. Is that true?
Yeah, yeah. He orders the pizza. He does the whole the gun thing with the, you know, you filthy animal with the pizza guy, makes him run away. You know.
So is it a flaw of the movie?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, like, look, I think Home Alone has a few of those for what it's worth. I mean, like, I don't care how well they explain it. I'm not leaving my kid when I get on a plane to France. Like,
so
I'm sorry.
Did the mom from overseas, does she call the neighbor and say, like, hey, can you go check
So there's
kid?
A lot of flaws in that. They call the police. The police come by. He's able to fake it.
Right.
But, like, it's like you don't know a single neighbor that you could call to go over there and, like, check on your kid. It's crazy.
That's pretty good. All right, hey, we're broadcasting today from the NovaCare Complex, and we're going to be down here. I think it's about 7 or 8 times as a show. By the way, not just our show today, but Joe and Hugh as well, which will be during the Eagles practice. So we're going to have some interviews prior to practice. Devontae Smith will join us at 8:30 today. And then Joe and Hugh, you know, I don't know what their lineup will be, but I certainly would imagine after practice, probably sometime in the 11 o'clock hour, I would think they'd have some interviews of Eagles players as well. The entire broadcast here today is driven by Hitch RV. Hitch RV, your premier family-owned dealership. For locations, go to hitchrv.com. Well, yesterday was a very notable day in that we were finally going to hear from Jalen Hurts after about 6 weeks since his comments about Nick Sirianni earlier in the summer. And obviously also as the Eagles, you know, embark on a new training camp to crank this thing up and just get some answers. Let's give you all the answers that Jalen Hurts provided yesterday. The full 10-minute press conference of Jalen Hurts. Listen, then we'll react. Your phone calls, of course, at 215-592-9494. You knew the first question was going to be about Nick. It was. Here's Hurts yesterday.
Jalen, there was a report that came out that you're in Nick's relationship.
Let me say this first. You know, you go through an offseason. You put a lot of work in. I think all the things that we've been through last year, all the opportunity we had last year, I know everybody's hungry. You know, everybody's hungry. You know, there's a ton of opportunity in front of us this year. I'm excited to be back, excited to go through this journey and go through this season with everyone here, you know, from everyone. You know, and I truly trust Mr. Leary, I trust Howie, I trust Coach Sirianni to lead us in that right direction. And I know there are different roles in place. Everybody has different responsibilities. There may be more demands from some than others. But I think to win championships, to be the team we want to be, everyone has to buy into that role and everyone has to, you know, be fully committed to doing their part and helping the team. And so I'm excited to go on that journey. You know, I feel like for me as a player, as a leader, everything that we went through last year, I just feel like I'm equipped to handle whatever's to come. And so I'm excited to, you know, forge whatever this year is supposed to be.
How did last year test your mental? Because it was the report that was a part of the progress. You feel like you're in a pretty good place?
Yeah, I think we're in a great place. You know, I think anytime you have any frustration, anytime you have any adversity that you have to overcome, it's supposed to test you. And I think it's a matter of being on the same page. You know, and I think if we are on the same page, we maybe would accomplish the things we would have. And, you know, we didn't, but it's a learning experience. You know, and I think it's as simple as if I made it happen, I can make it happen. And this team has made it happen before, and there's no doubt that we can make it happen again, but it takes what it takes. And it takes being together, you know, and my message to the team after we did our conditioning test, and even after our first day of practice, and which I thought was a good day of practice, but you know, talent. I've been on very talented teams. You know, my pretty much my whole career, I played around talent, and talent wins you games. It'll take you very far, but it don't last. You know, teams is what win championships, and that's what we're trying to do. You know, trying to take that next step, and so it's. It'll be an exciting journey. I think it was a great first day, just starting out here, getting the juices flowing. Humid out here today, but it was good having the fans out there, and you know, just being able to write a new journey for us. Yeah, you know, I think, you know. I know everyone has a different opinion on that statement, but everybody's not the quarterback. So for me and in my job and what I'm asked to do, I can see those differences from my vantage point. And I've spent a lot of time with that. Spent a lot of times with that and with the receivers and tight ends and just really trying to make it my own, like I said. You know, so I think that's been a process. It's been a really good process, and it's about striving for that consistency, and building that feel we want. I think it can help. You know, I think it comes down to execution, regardless of what we're asked to do. But over the course of my career so far, I do see the importance of being able to, you know, switch things up, adjust. Give a different taste, a different initial feel for things in motions, formations, and using different players in different spots. So, you know, we'll see what comes with that this year for us. But it's just a matter for us and me taking a day at a time, and everybody buying in, doing their job, and pressing forward with the good intent.
Do you anticipate relation reps in preseason?
I'm sorry.
Do you anticipate getting reps in preseason?
I'm not sure. It's above my jurisdiction. I really haven't ever gotten reps. You know, I think it changes with the weather. You know, everything is about results. So, you know, we'll see.
I imagine the relationship with the head coach who's more involved with offense is different. As Sirianni had different roles in the offense before. How is managing that relationship with the head coach who's more stepped back, and how do you manage that going forward?
It's fine. It's talking on the things that we need to talk about together, you know, and when it comes to Kellen, I talk to the things I need to talk about with him. But I think you guys have known me well enough and have gotten a feel for me better enough to know that anything and everything that I do is for the betterment of the team, and that's trying to win. And so I think if everybody has that mentality within their role, then we'll be fine.
Jalen, Lane Johnson said that you, in terms of leadership, you know, organized a couple of things outside of the building.
Well, I think it ain't more or less. It's just, you know, you guys see what I allow you to see. So I ain't really changed in terms of who I am. It was fun. It was fun. You know, it was fun, and it kind of happened that way naturally. But, you know, I think back on last year when we're going to the wild card game, and, you know, I don't have AJ. I don't have the guys that, you know, that I've been playing with all year. So being able to build a connection out the gate, I didn't have that with Julio like I wanted. I didn't have that with Zacchaeus like I may have wanted last year. And so going into this year, knowing that we have youth in the receiver room and whatever happens, that I know that I forged a relationship with them already. So if it comes up, we got some type of something, some type of foundation to lean on. So that was my thought process with that. And I think it was really good. You know, I got a lot of confidence in those guys, Johnny. A lot of talent there. Nias, Houston kid, a lot of talent there as well. I played with his brother. And then obviously AJ, Smitty, and Dallas, and Saquon, and Paris. You know, all those guys stepping up ship. Same.
So are you ever surprised by what you say, the way, surprised and disappointed by what you say, the way it's interpreted once it gets out there? It doesn't bother you at all?
There's no frustration with it. It's, like I said, some people don't know what they don't know. And I think that's often the case. And I can live with that.
You've spoken to us a lot.
Jason Kelce retiring. How does that change your responsibilities to the line of scrimmage, with diagnosing where pressure's coming from, protection, and things like that?
Yeah. You know, over the years, it's been something that I've wanted to do, but I feel like it hasn't. I mean, you have Jason Kelce, it's like, just let him do it, you know? And so I never really had the opportunity to do those things, but, you know, I think the opportunity has come. And I think it's a collaborative thing with myself and Cam, and we just have to build that relationship. He knows I have a lot of confidence in him to do the job and be the player he is. I mean, he stepped up for us in big moments. He played guard for us last year, and he's been ready. You know, he's ready to lead that O-line room. And I know those guys are going to lean on him.
Is Kelce in the best class you've ever been as far as?
It's been very good, but I think it comes from stout, you know, and how valuable he is for Kelce, myself, and how much he means to, you know, stout. How much stout means to Kelce. I like to forge that type of relationship with Coach Stout because I know how smart he is, you know, and I love to just be fed from him.
You've spoken a lot about the changes in your coordinator systems, play callers during these last 8-9 years of your life. What have you learned from those experiences as far as the quarterback's voice and what you like, what you don't, and how that offense should function?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you in that area, when you you don't have the continuity that you don't have the continuity. It's been 10 different play callers at some point over the past 8 years for me. And when you don't have that, it's kind of tough to learn how to talk to someone, how to communicate, how are they receptive, how are we growing to get to the same page. But I'm looking forward to that. And I've enjoyed that process with Coach Kellen. I've enjoyed every bit of it, just talking and how he sees the game. His trust in my judgment and my instincts is very important, and just going out there and playing.
On who you are, several coaches have talked about how hard you are on yourself. And how would you describe that about your personality and how that functions as a quarterback and in this team?
Yeah, I think you know, the guy, you know, that gets all the attention and, you know, has all of the, you know, the pressure in a sense. You know, you gotta be your biggest critic. Nothing really else matters. Nothing else really matters. And it's just about trying to go out there and do your job to your best abilities every day. And I do that with a passion, express uniquely at times. But, you know, I know what's important to this team. I know what's important to this city. Most importantly, I know what's important to me. And all in that is winning.
Yeah, thanks, Jalen.
And that's Jalen Hurts from yesterday, obviously, a press conference that aired in the afternoon, or late morning, I guess it was. So a lot to digest from that. I'll say this, and again, to everyone listening, you know, you can weigh in at 215-592-9494, what you think about what Hurts said, and just this overarching question we presented all day. Do you feel better about the Eagles today than you did yesterday morning prior to the press conferences and what was said by Howie, Nick, and Jalen? So my answer is I do feel better. I feel a little bit better. I don't feel a ton better because I generally expected nice things to be said in the press conferences, and they were, by Nick and Howie about Jalen, by Jalen about Nick. I mean, that, and also about Howie and about Jeffrey Lurie. So I generally expected that. But I know this. I didn't know that Jalen would go where he went, so I'm happy he did. Now, I am struck, James, you made the point earlier, and I don't disagree with you. while Jalen said nice things, he was not over the top about Nick. I mean, he was very prepared for the question. If you notice, and we'll talk to Elliot in about 10 minutes. Elliot asked that first question. You know, Hurts cut Elliot off within a matter of a couple of words. Like, he wanted to, I mean, the question wasn't even actually asked, if you technically get technical. It was, the question was being asked, and then he just stopped the question from finishing. So he was prepared, but he said nice things about Sirianni. I also thought that Jalen presented himself in a different way, a more lively way, less monotone.
Definitely more lively.
Yes. And he had some smiles, but, which he didn't typically have last year. That's good.
Yeah.
That's a good step. Yeah. So to me, he was willing to give a bit.
And, I thought it got less giving as it went on.
Can I give you the quote, John?
What's that?
You guys see what I allow you to see. Yeah. I haven't really changed who I am.
Uh-huh.
I understand. That was a fascinating quote.
I'm very aware.
You guys see what I allow you to see. I haven't really changed who I am. So, Ben, I know you were in Minnesota the last few days,
mm-hmm.
and unable to listen to that or watch it live as it happened. I know the last 10 minutes was the first time you've absorbed that. By the way, credit to Ben. He lands last night late from Minnesota. Bang! Pops up early this morning. Mm-hmm. Here with us at the NovaCare. So, Ben, what is your reaction hearing that for the first time?
It's pretty much what I expected. I think it was scripted. I think it was pretty much what we thought we were going to get. And I don't think he's ever going to go outside of the script. I just don't.
You say he at least expanded the script?
I will.
Meaning he was more willing prior to the press conference to go there than he probably was last year.
I would agree with that. I do think he showed a little bit more personality through that. Now, having said that, it's still not a big personality, but I do think it shows that he is the leader of the team, and he's trying to get his guys to follow him even more.
James, can you frame what you said earlier for everyone listening about how you think Jalen went to a certain point, but not as far as maybe you would have preferred?
Yeah, I think it was clear, especially in that opening statement when he's talking about, you know, us as a team and our goal, and we're working towards that. And he's like, I trust Mr. Lurie, and I trust Howie Roseman, and I trust Coach Sirianni. And, like, that was it. That was the only part of that whole monologue that was about Nick in and of itself. And it just felt like, again, and I said I think it was passable. It was acceptable. I don't think exacerbated the situation. I just would like to believe that he trusts his coach, that he is, they're on the same page.
Yeah.
And he didn't make me think that yesterday.
Yeah. And I don't know that he believes that. That's the problem. I know that this is likely lip service, but I would have liked it to be a little bit more effusive.
But at least he gave us
the
lip service.
He did say it.
Which is better than not.
And previously, he had not. Previously, yeah. That was the problem. He was asked about Nick Sirianni, and it was, what? There's an issue with Coach Sirianni?
Yeah.
He's trying to be Mr. Tough Guy, Mr. Pulling Teeth. Now he's talking willingly. He's talking happily. But I don't know that that means he believes in Nick Sirianni.
Right. All right, Devin, your main takeaway. What do you make of it?
So that quote that you brought up stood out to me the most on the second listening, you know, obviously listening to it live and then hearing it back. What stood out to me was what he'd said about the wild card game, though, and his play at the end of last season, where he essentially said, I didn't have time to build chemistry with pretty much any receiver aside from A.J. Brown, who was out that game. And I've been taking active steps to practice with the new receivers who I have and the rest of my offense, which I just took away from that he is being a better leader, like proactively trying to be a better leader for not just the offense, but the whole team. There was also a soundbite from the end of training camp yesterday where he's talking to the team and he sounds, you know, really eloquent and well-spoken. So I do feel like I don't know if someone talked to him about it, but I see improvement, and
they
maybe
did.
That's just me being blinded as a fan and wanting
to. No,
be
I feel
more
confident they talked.
They told us that they talked to him about being a little bit more vocal.
And you know what's also interesting? Ruben,
I think he was good with that.
Ruben said to us 2 days ago, because I asked him, how would you handle this if you were a GM? And he referenced, so sometimes it's not about having the direct conversation, but getting to someone in his life to have the conversation with him.
Hmm.
Could be a parent, could be the agent, could be a best friend. But Ruben's point was sometimes you don't go direct, you go roundabout, but make sure the message gets to him, even if you're not the one that directly gives it to him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, look, I thought it was a good day for the Eagles. It doesn't convince me that there. Matter of fact, I feel certain there was a problem. Doesn't convince me there's not a problem. But it makes me. But it makes me feel better than I had felt.
The one answer that doesn't make me feel better was the one you brought up, Joe. That you guys see what I allow you to see, because I don't know if he meant it to sound as I don't know ominous as I took it, but I took that as well. So is there still a problem?
And yeah, but I will say, this about that: there is a big difference, and there should be from what he presents to the press and the public, and what he presents to his teammates.
Yes.
Because in the end, we can talk all we want about his public presentation. What truly matters is he getting along with his teammates and his coaches? Is he listening to his coaches? Is he, you know...
Is he leading his team? Is he respected by his teammates?
So your chance to weigh in on all this. By the way,
I thought it was huge that he talked about the collaboration with Cam Jurgens on
Was fascinating.
This is... He told us that he has wanted to do
but didn't.
All along, but it's Kelsey's thing. Let him do it. Like, that's different than what I expected. Like, that's a player who,
I've been telling you he wasn't doing it for your
purposes. You should take that as he knows how, he understands.
There's a difference between he knows how and he's wanted to do it.
He's wanted to do it for a while, but he hasn't.
But he hasn't done it.
You have questioned quite some time whether he could do that.
Could do it. Yeah.
If he has wanted to do it for a while,
could do it effectively.
It sounds like he could do it.
Well,
don't you think?
How do we know, man?
How do you know that, John? There's a
difference. If he wants to do it, I think he understands.
John, I want to shoot three. I want to shoot three pointers. Doesn't mean I'm going to be good at shooting three pointers.
Come on, man. He's not going to ask to do it if he doesn't know.
I disagree.
You are out of your mind.
All right, Elliot is going to join us in about 5 minutes. By the way, something fascinating Bryce Harper said after that Phillies loss yesterday. We're going to get to that shortly as well. Reaction to what you heard from Hurt, Sirianni, and Howie. Patrick in Tabernacle. Hi, Patrick.
Morning, everybody. How we doing?
Hey, Patrick. What do you make of that, man?
You know what I make my biggest takeaway? I think he's stepping into a new role because Kelsey's stepping out of a role. Kelsey's not there. He said something. He referenced something. I said, you know what? It might be tough to be a leader, be yourself when you got such a strong personality in Kelsey. So that's what I took away from it.
Well, I think it's an important point. He does have to do more.
But Patrick, within the offense, to Kelsey's credit, Kelsey did not strike me at all like the guy that sucks the oxygen out of the room. Like, there are some non-quarterback leaders, I think, that make it hard for a quarterback to be a leader. I think Ray Lewis, as great as he was and as great as a leader as he was, and I'm not ripping him, but, I mean, there was no way any quarterback in that organization, I don't care who the quarterback was going to have a bigger voice than Ray Lewis. And I don't see Kelsey as the guy that had an ego that would have prevented a quarterback from being the leader if the quarterback stepped up to be the leader.
I'm not talking about Kelsey's actual personality. Like it's a good analogy with Lewis. Kelsey was larger than life. His leadership role became, Joe, it wasn't his actual personality. It was what he represented.
In time, but he wasn't larger than life the whole time. I mean, to be fair, Kelsey the last 2 years.
In Hurts' time.
Yeah.
Look at in Hurts' time. He walks in. This guy is
well,
Mr.
I guess ever since the Super Bowl and the parade, I guess that's true. Yeah.
So that's not why. Real quick, John Ritchie, John Mayall passed away. Maybe Seltzer can give us a nod to one of the big guys who helped bring Chicago blues and Mississippi Delta blues to people's consciousness. Mm. Devin, if you combine announcing yourself with the news and your Eagles chant, I think you got a winner.
Hi, this is the news.
Yep.
That's a good idea.
Wait, Seltzer, where was he?
Ever try?
He didn't tell me he was going to say that. I don't have the Eagles chant on the board.
Do you have the E? Can you just do the E?
I can pull it up.
I need the. For those that missed it, Devin tried to do an Eagles chant yesterday, and the E was
not great. No, not just the E. The whole chant.
It was. Let me put it this way. It was worse than Screech trying to hit on a girl.
There
was nothing good about it. All right, nothing. All right, Patrick, do me a favor.
Yeah, the news.
Sorry, I got to hear that again. Hold on, let me hear that again.
Hi, this is the news.
All right, Patrick, give me a quick Phillies point because I got to get to Elliot.
I know. Quick Philly's point. Listen, man, I'm with Seltzer, man. I've wanted bats this whole time coming, this whole season. You know, the pitching that we rode was a great, great big wave for a long time, for half the season. Now we're into the nuts and bolts part of this is not crunch time yet, but we gotta, you know,
it's crunch time for bat. I'll tell you this, it's crunch time to form the team. This is basically your last shot to add anyone of real value. Patrick, something from a movie that's strange or dumb. What do you got?
Not a winning answer. In Jaws, my favorite movie, when Dreyfus says, "Hey, it's a tiger shark," and that big dope of a guy says, "A what?"
Okay, all right, Patrick. Appreciate the call. Hey, let's get to today's Twitter poll question of the day. Patrick was just talking about what he wants to see the Phils do. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Whether you want gas or electric, Armin has an Equinox that's for you. Armin's offering great savings on all Equinoxes. Together, let's drive. ArminChevy.com. Today's poll question: which is a bigger need for the Phillies as they approach the trade deadline, which is now in 5 days? Is it A starting outfielder, where obviously they could use help both in left field and center field, or is it B, a relief pitcher, which is becoming a bigger area of need considering the struggles of Alvarado and others? 215-592-9494. Now, Elliot joins us in 1 minute on the Eagles, but I want to play one piece of audio of Bryce Harper from yesterday. I found this pretty strong. So, Phillies lose. If you missed the game, afternoon game, really frustrating game. Got a 4-1 lead, blow it, bullpen blows it. Nola had pitched well. Bats left some opportunities early with guys on base, but Schwarber did have a big hit middle of the game. You got the lead. You feel like you kind of got the game, and then there's an implosion in the bullpen. Who's involved? Kirkren's involved. Strom's involved. Soto's involved. Phillies lose. After the game, Bryce not really messing around. You can tell Bryce is irritated by the way they've been playing. Two different points in here, both strong positions and opinions. Here's Bryce after the game.
It's like the worst you guys have played for a prolonged stretch this season. What do you make going back before the break, the series against A's is three straight series of losses?
Yeah, I mean, obviously those are, I thought the A's kicked the crap out of us last game, obviously. But, I felt like we've had two games that got away from us that we could have won. Just haven't.
This team has been pretty good facing adversity. I don't even know if you would call this adversity, these last nine games. So I imagine you guys are pretty confident you can find a way to maneuver your way out of this and get back on the winning track.
Yeah, again. I mean, I think obviously, going home is going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait to get home, see my family and, play in the bank. But we can't let, two games get away from us in the last two series like that. Just can't happen. If you're going to be a winning ball club and be a winning team, that just can't happen.
The deadline is less than a week. What do you think you guys need something else? What do you think it is, and what do you think about what the front office will do?
I don't know. Dave's going to get the job done if he wants to.
How about that?
If he wants to.
How about that? Two things in there. Dave's going to get the job done if he wants to, which could be interpreted positive or negative. That could be he's putting pressure on Dave Dombrowski, or it could be total trust of Dave Dombrowski. Dave's going to get the job done, if he wants to. It's kind of a strange comment.
It's very strange.
Do you interpret it as a positive or a negative, James?
Honestly, I'm not sure.
I'm not either.
I lean negative. I lean negative.
It seems strange to me that
I'm not
he
sure.
would not, I'm not either. Be involved to some degree, like at least the wheels are turning. Like, doesn't it seem like
to talk to Dombrowski?
To Dombrowski John Middleton, like he's always part of that conversation.
Look, yeah, but he's not in the trade negotiations or anything like that. He's not like talking about what prospects to give
listen,
up.
Maybe,
and stuff.
Look, guys, I don't want to take a leap here. I'll just say this. Maybe he's irritated with the outfield and he's like, damn, get us a bat. Let's go.
Yeah, that I could
like
see.
He is irritated.
He's definitely irritated because he also says regarding the loss and the recent losses, quote, that just can't happen. I mean, he's saying to be a great team, quote, that just can't happen. Now, like, it can, because you're still going to win 100 games, or very close to it, but you can tell his antenna of frustration is up.
What I make my biggest takeaway? I think he's stepping into a new role because Kelsey's stepping out of a role. Kelsey's not there. He said something. He referenced something. And I said, you know what? It might be tough to be a leader, be yourself when you got such a strong personality in Kelsey. So that's what I took away from it.
Well, I think it's an important point. He does have to do more.
But Patrick,
within the offense.
To Kelsey's credit, Kelsey did not strike me at all like the guy that sucks the oxygen out of the room. Like, there are some non-quarterback leaders, I think, that make it hard for a quarterback to be a leader. I think Ray Lewis, as great as he was and as great as a leader as he was, and I'm not ripping him, but, I mean, there was no way any quarterback in that organization, I don't care who the quarterback was going to have a bigger voice than Ray Lewis. And I don't see Kelce as the guy that had an ego that would have prevented a quarterback from being the leader if the quarterback stepped up to be the leader.
Not, I'm not talking about Kelce's actual personality. Like it's a good analogy with Lewis. Kelce was larger than life. His leadership role became, Joe, it wasn't his actual personality.
Is.
It was what he represented.
In time, but he wasn't larger than life the whole time. I mean, to be fair, Kelce the last 2 years.
In Hurts' time.
Yeah.
Look at in Hurts' time. He walks in. This guy is
well,
Mr. Lumber.
I guess ever since the Super Bowl and the parade, I guess that's true. Yeah.
So that's not why. Real quick, John Mayall passed away. Maybe Seltzer can give us a nod to one of the big guys who helped bring Chicago blues and Mississippi Delta blues to people's consciousness. Devin, if you combine announcing yourself with the news and your Eagles chant, I think you got a winner.
Hi, this is the news.
Yep, you
that's a good
that
idea.
Wait,
James.
Seltzer, where
please
was
don't
the?
Ever try
you didn't
it.
Tell me he was going to say that. I don't have the Eagles chant on
do you
the
have
board.
The e?
Ready.
Can you just
I
do
can
the
pull
e?
It up. I can pull it up.
I need the. For those that missed it, Devin tried to do an Eagles chant yesterday, and the E was
not great. No, not just the E. The whole chant.
It was.
Let me
put it this way. It was worse than Screech trying to hit on a girl.
It was
like it had. There was nothing good about it. All right, nothing. All right, Patrick, do me a favor.
Sorry,
I got to hear that again. Hold on, let me hear that again.
Hi, this is the news.
All right, Patrick, give me a quick Phillies point because I got to get to Elliot.
I know, quick Phillies point. Listen, man, I'm with Seltzer, man. I've wanted bats this whole time coming, this whole season. You know, the pitching that we rode was a great, great big wave for a long time, for half the season. Now we're into the nuts and bolts part of this is not crunch time yet, but
it's crunch time to form the team. This is basically your last shot to add anyone of real value. Patrick, something from a movie that's strange or dumb. What do you got?
Not a winning answer. In Jaws, my favorite movie, when Dreyfus says, "Hey, it's a tiger shark," and that big dope of a guy says, "A what?"
Okay, all right, Patrick. Appreciate the call. Hey, let's get to today's Twitter poll question of the day. Patrick was just talking about what he wants to see the Phils do. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Whether you want gas or electric, Armin has an Equinox that's for you. Armin's offering great savings on all Equinoxes. Together, let's drive. ArminChevy.com. Today's poll question, which is a bigger need for the Phillies as they approach the trade deadline, which is now in 5 days? Is it A, starting outfielder, where obviously they could use help both in left field and center field, or is it B, a relief pitcher, which is becoming a bigger area of need considering the struggles of Alvarado and others? 215-592-9494. Now, Elliot joins us in 1 minute on the Eagles, but I want to play one piece of audio of Bryce Harper from yesterday. I found this pretty strong. So, Phillies lose. If you missed the game, afternoon game, really frustrating game. Got a 4-1 lead, blow it, bullpen blows it, Nola had pitched well. Bats left some opportunities early with guys on base, but Schwarber did have a big hit middle of the game. You got the lead. You feel like you kind of got the game, and then there's an implosion in the bullpen. Who's involved? Kirkren's involved. Strom's involved. Soto's involved. Phillies lose. After the game, Bryce not really messing around. You can tell Bryce is irritated by the way they've been playing. Two different points in here, both strong positions and opinions. Here's Bryce after the game.
It's like the worst you guys have played for a prolonged stretch this season. Going back before the break, the series against A's is three straight series of losses.
Yeah, I mean, obviously those are, I thought the A's kicked the crap out of us last game, obviously. But, I felt like we've had two games that got away from us that we could have won. Just haven't.
This team has been pretty good. Facing adversity. I don't even know if you would call this adversity, these last nine games. So I imagine you guys are pretty confident you can find a way to maneuver your way out of this and get back on that winning track.
Yeah, again. I mean, I think obviously, going home is going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait to get home, see my family and play in the bank. But we can't let, two games get away from us in the last two series like that. It just can't happen. If you're going to be a winning ball club and be a winning team, that just can't happen.
The deadline is less than a week. What do you think you guys need something else? What do you think it is, and what do you think about what the front office will do?
I don't know. Dave's going to get the job done if he wants to.
How about that?
If he wants to.
How about that? Two things in there. Dave's going to get the job done if he wants to, which could be interpreted positive or negative. That could be he's putting pressure on Dave Dombrowski, or it could be total trust of Dave Dombrowski. Dave's going to get the job done, dot, 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 if he wants to. It's kind of a strange comment.
It's very strange. It's
do you
just
interpret
strange.
It as a positive or a negative, James?
Honestly, I'm not sure.
I'm not either.
There. I lean negative. I lean negative.
It seems strange to me that
I'm not
he
sure.
would not,
I'm not either.
Be involved to some degree, like at least the wheels are turning. Like, doesn't it seem like
to talk to Dombrowski?
To Dombrowski,
well, I'm sure,
and
I'm sure
John Middleton, like he's always part of that conversation.
Look, yeah, but he's not in the trade negotiations or anything like that. He's not like talking about what prospects to
but
give
listen,
up and
maybe,
stuff.
Look, guys, I don't want to take a leap here. I'll just say this.
He's not.
Maybe he's irritated with the outfield and he's like, damn, get us a bat. Let's go.
Yeah,
it
that I could
like
see.
He is irritated.
He's definitely irritated because he also says regarding the loss and the recent losses, quote, that just can't happen. I mean, he's saying to be a great team, quote, that just can't happen. Now, like, it can, because you're still going to win 100 games or very close to it. But you can tell his antenna of frustration is up.